Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of Stone, she sailed
Welcome
on a
to the
day.
Outlander Gab on the Air. It's the Men in Kilts Edition. Bye, Elizabeth. There we go. this is Erin Conrad, Senior Editor with 3fbyspace.net. And I am joined, as always, by my wonderful friends, Allison Bailey, who struggles with her microphone. Say hi, Allison.
Hello, hello. Yes, having bad luck with technology.
And Sam Krofner. Say hi, Sam.
Hi. I just struggle in general, I guess, you know.
Yeah, we're here once again to entertain and delight the five people who listen to us. So we're hoping that we have intrigued enough of you to come and take a listen. We think we have fun. It could be all in our minds, but you know, people tell us we're beautiful. So we're. As always, we're going to chat about Men in Kilts. We're going to talk about what we're reading, what we're doing, what we're watching, any interesting news we found, anything we can learn about Sam, Graham, and any other cast or crew members' new projects, and then take your calls at about half an hour, probably. That's probably when we'll have exhausted what we have to say. The call-in number for tonight, as always, is 929-477-3898. And I will tell you, if you are listening to us on the radio and you are struggling, we have had reports occasionally of people who try to get in and have trouble with things cutting out. You can always call in and listen. I will ask you, though, if you are calling in just to listen and don't want to talk to us on the phone, please send me a Twitter DM or a Facebook PM at Erin Conrad 2 on Twitter or Erin Adams Conrad on Facebook. And let me know that you don't want to talk to us or else I will end up clicking on you. And I have done that and the person has in panic hung up. So
surprise!
and so we don't want that to happen. So 929-477-3898. And if you get interrupted by kids, family, dogs, pets, hurricane, whatever, you can come back and listen to the replay of this episode or any other episode, including John Baker's excellent shows on the Templar and the Outpost and anything else. They're all available right here at this same website. So all of the formalities being done, let me just one more little piece of 3fbyspace housekeeping. I mentioned this last week, but we do have a great collectible shop at 3fbyspace.net/shop. If you collect anything related to, well, not anything, we don't have everything, but if you collect things related to sci-fi, fantasy, even Disney. We have Funkos, we have fig pins, which are big pins, not of figs, but of figures. And and the new thing along with that is we've set up a loyalty program where you collect points for all of your purchases, and you can use those points for discounts on future purchases. And that goes for anybody who bought last year's Season 4 Outlander playing cards or Outlander trading cards or the Outlander playing cards that were released at the end of last year. And you can get all the information on that by going to the little figure in the upper right-hand corner that talks about space bucks. Click on that, and you can get all the details for that. Okay, so this week in the Outlanderverse, not a huge amount going on, would you say? It's been quieter than some other weeks.
Yeah, it has.
Pretty quiet.
I think that's not a bad thing, you know. We've had enough to keep us busy recently. So did, I know, Allison, you said you hadn't seen it, but I don't know if you went back and watched. There was a post going around of Sam's interview from this morning from England, a morning show.
No, I didn't get to it.
Yeah. Sam, did you see that?
No, sorry, I worked today.
Oh,
I'm a little behind.
Worked. Oh my God.
I know.
Well, it was a good one. This the you know, it's just one of those morning show things that's fun. But he talked about SAS Red Notice, which will be available through Redbox streaming service on March 16th. So if you're planning even a virtual watch party, let us know.
Yeah.
It looks like fun. The author has of the book that this is based on has said more than once that he is a psychopath. Sounds more like he's like a sociopath, but what do I know? I haven't met the guy. But but
the
Sam
character,
talking,
not the author, right? Let's clarify this.
No. The author says he
himself is a psychopath.
Well,
that's interesting.
He says he is a good psychopath. Apparently he's married and, you know, has a real life. But in the movie, Sam's character, Tom Buckingham, has a lot of the same traits as the author, whose name is escaping me at the moment, Andy McNabb. And a lot of the things in the movie are from Andy McNabb's own military career. And Sam was talking about the fact that in the movie, Tom Buckingham has the same sociopathic or psychopathic tendencies, and says that as he goes through the movie, he finds that he has little empathy for the other people going through this crisis, and kind of by the end realizes, oh, that's what it was, you know. Now I understand myself better. So, you know, I think it's not going to be just an action movie. I think it's going to be a mental exploration.
Oh, so it's right up your alley then.
Yeah.
Good.
So
it's kind of like a Dexter, a psychopathic killer that we like. Is that what you're
I don't know that he's a psychopathic killer.
It's a psychological thriller.
Just a psychopath.
In some ways, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You know what? I haven't read the book. I think I ought to, but it does sound like a lot of fun. I mean, not fun because, you know, it's a shoot 'em up and an explodo movie, but I like that kind of thing. So, Sam told a story that Andy McNabb had told them that his wife's cat died and they were heading out for a weekend, so he put the cat in the freezer to preserve it until they got home. And his wife had to explain to him that normal people don't do that. But this interview this morning, many of the Facebook groups have put the clip in their groups, and it is in mine, in Outlandishly Free Advice Space. So if you're interested, you could check on that. And he also talked a little bit about starting filming of Outlander and a little bit about Men in Kilts. So it was a good, it's about a 6-minute interview. So that was kind of fun.
You can get a lot into 6 minutes.
Yeah, especially if you talk fast. Diana has come under fire a little bit recently because she keeps saying 2 to 3 weeks. It'll be done in 2 to 3 weeks. Bees, the next book. You know, so that gets a little frustrating when she keeps saying that, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's as frustrated,
definitely,
though, too. It's probably out of her hands. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, at the moment, it's still in her hands. You know, it has not left her hands, but she did say on Twitter today that she will not be talking about it again until it is in the publisher's hands. So
I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah. I think on that, we will know when we know, and there's no point in speculating. in Diana time, 2 to 3 weeks could be 2 to 3 months. So, but you know what? I'd rather her be happy with it and get it out.
Sure.
When she's ready to have it out, than being pressured by all of us. So there are many other things to read, people. Fill up your time with other great TV shows and books and magazines and family.
Absolutely. Family. Ooh.
Family. As frustrating as they can be. So what else are you guys watching? Anything else? What are you reading? What's on your radar these days?
Well, we've been, I don't know if I mentioned this before, we've been watching Schitt's Creek. God, that's a funny show. It is so good. Have either of you watched it?
Not yet. The first 2 episodes and haven't gotten any farther because Kevin comes home and falls asleep right after he gets home. So,
I mean, there's just, it just goes on and on, the hilarity and the absurdity of these people. It just, it's really good to watch. It's light and you laugh, and you know, we all need to laugh these days. And it's light. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
I definitely recommend it. And I can see why it's won so many awards, because it's just, it's well done. we're getting to the end of it, and I'm not happy about that at all.
No.
It's what it is.
Yeah. Anything else new?
With Allison?
Mm. Or either of you.
Oh, well, I've picked up, so I'm going through very slowly my Netflix wish list, and so what I've been binge watching, and don't laugh, I've been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer because I never watched it when it was originally out, and I kept tripping over these pop culture references, and since I read and watch other things in that genre, that whole supernatural genre,
right.
I thought, okay, I'm going to watch them. So then I realized that I got into the fourth season, and about midway through the fourth season, I got kind of confused because they kind of like spun off Angel to a different television show.
Right.
And I didn't realize that you were supposed to watch them in parallel. Like you watch 4-1 of Buffy, and then you go to 1-1 of Angel, and then you go to 4-2 of Buffy, and then you go to 1-2 of Angel. And so I had to kind of so I didn't realize that, because there's like a whole lot of crossovers in those first couple ones. Because I'm sitting there watching the Buffy's going, what do you mean you went to go to L.A.? I don't recall that. I know I didn't miss them because I'm binge watching them one right after the other. So then I realized I actually Googled and found out how to watch television.
But I have a niece that went to either Wizard World or Comic-Con or something dressed as Angel.
Oh yeah. Well,
she went as Spike.
Okay, that's an easier one because you just dye your hair white, blonde. So yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it because it's all stuff I didn't watch. This is back in what, like 1999, 2000. That I was busy raising kids. I wasn't watching TV.
Emma's gotten me watch. We started watching it. We haven't gotten back to it. I don't know why, but we watched a good chunk of it. And every once in a while, we watch a couple episodes, but she's watched it all already. So.
Yes, she's of the age.
She wants me to watch it. She wants me to know what it is, so she makes me watch it.
I'm enjoying it. It keeps my mind off of stuff, you know?
It's great. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to make fun of anybody for going back and watching old shows because, you know, I've... still finishing up my Star Trek binge, which has been going on for months. But
well, it would.
Yeah. But I have actually seen all of the live action series. So the only things I haven't seen are the 2 animated series, Lower Decks, and the animated series. I'll get back to those. But it's been kind of funny. Picard which is, if you're not familiar with the Star Trek universe, is one of the two current Star Trek spinoffs. The other one is Discovery. And the first season of Picard picks up at a point many years after The Next Generation ends. And there's been this whole huge incident in between that Picard was not responsible for in that he caused it, but responsible for working on, for being in charge of the response to this incident. And there are characters that come in that, you know, where did they come from? Well, then I found out, and I'm sure somewhere in the back of my brain I knew this, but that there's a whole world of Star Trek books, just like there are Star Wars books and Doctor Who books and everything. And I picked up a book that's new, not one of the older ones, called Picard, The Last Best Hope. And that's the whole prequel to the TV show Picard. So all of a sudden, Picard is making a huge amount more sense to me. And then today, the BBC shows episodes of Next Generation and DS9, and which I had a fun Twitter conversation with Kate Thomas, who is in the UK. She makes some beautiful items that I've featured at 3FI Space in the past. But we had this verbal battle about which is better, DS9 or Enterprise. But there was an episode of The Next Generation where Data, who is an android, had to be judged on whether he was a life form or whether he was a machine and property of Starfleet. And this book then is like half about the guy who wanted to dismantle Data and gets it, you know, and then that reflects into Picard, the TV show. So all of a sudden, all of this is making a huge amount of sense to me where it hadn't before. And I kind of feel like, you know, where no man has gone before, it's just this whole new universe. So if I don't climb out of my Star Trek hole, you'll know where to find me.
Sucked into the books?
Yeah, gone into the books. And the other hole I've gone into is watching an older show called Salvation, which only ran for two seasons. And it's about, there's an asteroid going to hit the Earth. It's an extinction event. But the star of that show is one of the stars of Picard. So it all kind of ties in together. It's been kind of funny. Anyway, I'm trying to get my sci-fi cred rating up a little bit. And I'm sure you were all interested in that. And one of my favorite shows comes back tonight, New Amsterdam on NBC. I have not yet watched any more episodes of, I think I'm behind two now, on A Discovery of Witches. And have either of you ever read The Time Traveler's Wife by Audrey Niffenegger?
I love that book. Oh, yeah, great book.
Yeah.
There is going to be a TV series for Amazon starring Theo James.
Good. They did a movie, but I remember, if I remember correctly, the movie I wasn't very happy with because they really had to cut out so much to get all that in. So I'd be interested to see the television series on that. That's good.
Yeah. So I think that
will
be fun.
I like Theo James.
Yeah. And they're trying to bill it as, well, Rose Leslie, who is Kit, what's his last name?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was also in Downton Abbey. And,
Downton Abbey, she was the housemaid.
Right, she was
the
maid, right. Mm-hmm. And Theo James was in one episode of Downton Abbey, as a Turkish envoy who died in Lady Mary's bed. And they're trying to bill it as some sort of Downton Abbey
reunion.
Oh my gosh.
But okay. That should be really fun, and it always kind of bothers me a little bit. They're both British actors and they're playing Americans, and it's, you know, couldn't you find an American, you know, after some of the disasters we've seen with Sam Heughan's American accent. Not Graham's, apparently. He has
Graham has a good American accent. He really does.
A very good American accent. That was a wonderful little conversation between them. I really enjoyed that.
And now we segue into Menacles. I'm sorry, it's not Amazon. It's going to be an HBO series.
Excellent.
So that should be a lot of fun. And I think Time Traveler's Wife is in my top five of books.
Yeah.
I've probably read it 4 or 5 times. And every time I hear Blister in the Sun, it makes me think of Time Traveler's Wife. So so that's I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that a lot. So that's where that stands. Okay, Men in Kilts. This week's episode focused on song and dance. Something that neither Sam or Graham can do. So,
well, they're very enthusiastic about it.
Yes, and they were very cute. It was like the dork factor was high this week. So,
and there were kilts, and they wore kilts almost the entire time.
There were lots of kilts. So,
yeah.
Yes, I did appreciate that. yeah, they both look good in kilts, and so did all the other men that we saw. We saw lots of men in kilts. So that was fun.
Now, Graham readily admits that he can't sing, and I've actually, you know, listened to him in different panels over the years, explained and even show us that it's true, and he'll reference back that the maid went to the mill by night. You know, that's that song that they sang there. So, I mean, he knows he doesn't have the best voice, but Sam actually isn't a bad singer. I just don't know that, you know, they captured him in his best this particular time.
Well, and I'm thinking he was being probably a little silly with it too.
Yeah.
There was one excellent singer though in this week's episode.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is somebody Sam has met. So why don't you tell us a little bit about meeting Gilabrigi McMillan?
Yeah. Now he's actually a very interesting person. I've gone to a couple of events where he's been, and I've actually spent some time with him alone, and he is multilingual. This isn't just now. He grew up speaking Gaelic, you know, which, of course, as you know, is not a very. It's almost a dead language. They're trying to bring it back, but he. I want to say his wife is some kind of it's Spanish or something, because I know that the children actually speak like Gaelic and English and Spanish or something like that. I mean, they're just multilingual. It's amazing. But he is just such a brilliant, just a really nice person to talk to. Very interesting. I still laugh every once in a while because I swear some of the sounds that are in some of these songs, some of the words that are in these, I swear they're making them up because they don't sound like they're really words. But, you know, as you start to hear some of these songs, some of the words will, I've tried a couple of times between him and Agav, you know, trying to learn a little bit of the language. Right. And it's not an easy language. It's not something that you even have any reference to, because it comes from that whole, I guess, I don't know what even the closest would be, Germanic. I don't know, but it's just not a, it's not an easy language.
And none of the words sound the way they look.
Right.
Yeah, there's that too.
Nothing sounds the way it looks.
Right. But I am thrilled that he got to, you know, he was happy that he got to be in the show. And that was great because he's also, that's helped him and his causes for, you know, helping to bring Gaelic back to the Highlands. And even people that live in the Highlands, you know, they're now a little bit more interested in learning that. But I think that it helped his career a little bit too. And that's great. And the fact that he got to be in a television show as well as the series as the bard. So this was, I was excited for him.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've been reading Clanlands, the book that Sam and Graham wrote, this actually, Gilabrigi's, segment was in the book. It's on page 105. And it's really kind of funny. He says, I give Graham his stage directions. When Gilabrigi arrives, he has to emerge from the tent after spending a sleepless and uncomfortable night. I will busy myself making Graham a Highland breakfast. Graham disappears into his tent while I start cooking porridge over the campfire. Traditionally made with oats, water, and salt, porridge is the best way to sustain one's energy. I swear by porridge. Growing up, we had a friend of the family who would make it religiously for breakfast. He'd let it cool and solidify. One slice or two, he'd ask. He goes on and on and on about porridge. Upon Gilabrigi's arrival, Graham crawls out of his tent, stands up holding his back dramatically, and yawns. I hand him his third breakfast. I'm not sure he wants to eat it, but the camera is rolling, and Graham will do whatever the camera wants. He shoves mounds in and pretends to like it. I shake hands with Gilabrigi. Graham can't speak. Sorry, my mouth is full of Sam's porridge, he splutters. There is nowhere to sit, so Graham can't help showing off superhuman strength and acting skills to impress our new guest. Finding a large rock, he proceeds to puff and gasp a great deal, trying to lift it. I'd seen this kind of performance before on set, the sound effects alone worthy of an Oscar. So that goes on for a couple of pages. So it's kind of funny when you, if you read along with Clanlands, you keep wondering, why haven't we seen this and why haven't we seen that? Well, it's because Starz, when they bought it, they ordered some additional filming and cut out a lot of the filming that Sam and Graham had already done. So some of the stuff you're going to see in the show is stuff that you're going to read about in the book, and some of it isn't. There was a good example of that this week with the Inverness Outlanders. And you've met several of those ladies, haven't you, Sam?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they had a whole thing. There was a magazine that came out last year, I think, The Complete Guide to Outlander. And in it, they had a picture of the Inverness Outlanders and some of the women who were on the Shinty team met Sam and Graham and were asked to play a game with them and on camera explain what Shinty is all about. And they were very excited that they were going to be in the show. And then they weren't.
Yeah.
And that is actually even in the book. And it's, trying to find it. It's on page 175. Where in Clanlands they talk about meeting up with the women of the Inverness Outlanders and the Scotland Shinty team, the women's Shinty team, and they were kind of depressed that they didn't make it into the show. But they
do have some phenomenal still photos from the opportunity because afterwards they all took selfies and pictures and stuff. So, I mean, the pictures that they've got on their Facebook pages, because I'm friends with them, are just phenomenal. They had a good time either way. But
yeah,
it would have been nice to have been on the show.
Yeah. Well, apparently there were several, I don't know how much I can say about this, and, you know, how much is public knowledge and how much isn't, but there were several times when they saw Sam and Graham related to men in kilts, and this is the only one I think that did not actually end up in the show. So we will see them in future episodes. But if you're interested in reading that that blog post that they put together, it's just InvernessOutlanders.wordpress.com, and you'll find their blog post, Lisa Much's blog post from 2 days ago.
Hmm.
And that was fun. So I've been kind of living with this for months because Sinead Robertson had asked me to mail her copies of that magazine because it wasn't available in the UK. So it was good to hear that they had heard from the production, but not so good to hear that they didn't make it into this episode. So, or actually last week's episode, it wasn't this one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm, maybe a future one. You never know.
Maybe. Maybe
I mean, when you think about it, when it's filming in Inverness and I mean, they're there, it's just like if they were filming something in Chicago every week. You know, we would probably be able to run across them more. So
yes,
I think it's great that they were able to. And no, they're not Delilah and her mother.
Yeah, I haven't gotten all the way through Clanlands yet, so
you'll find them and they're referenced a couple of times.
Yeah. We did have a little bit of a controversy with this episode, though, didn't we?
Well, not a controversy per se. It was a little disappointing, just like I know Sinead and Lisa. You know, some of the they were disappointed. I had a little bit of a disappointment, and it was actually more of a shock. I was going through one, must have been Thursday night or Friday night, when the promos started coming out for episode 3, and I was reading an article and I clicked on the link to see the promo and my video was on it, and I went, well, that's interesting, you know. So I went and found it, thinking, well, it couldn't possibly be in the, maybe the magazine found it and was using it or something as a clip, because sometimes bloggers will do that. And no, and I went and looked at it and it was watermarked as stars. I'm going, so, and the thing is, and this is, I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit because I've had two camps of people. One that is like, well, that's just not right. They understand, you know, that you should always give either cite your sources or give photo credit or tag somebody.
Right.
So that if people have questions and say, so where was this taken and what was he doing? You know, because, you know, for 5 years now, I've gotten people that have seen that. I think that one, I think maybe only has like 40,000 hits on my YouTube page. And of course, I've also posted it on my different Facebook groups and whatnot. But every once in a while, I'll get somebody who says, hey, isn't this yours? Somebody wants to know where this was taken and stuff like that. And I'll be able to answer them. But, you know, there was another one where that same weekend where Sam was, he had taken off his jacket because he was hot and everybody sort of cheered and catcalled. So he started to pretend like he was going to take off his trousers and he started to undo his belt and whatnot. And of course, you know, I had a couple of pictures of that. Well, that, you know, they were watermarked when they went out there, but I've myself seen those pictures a million more times. And it's like, okay, I get it when fans find those pictures and repost them, because a lot of times they won't even remember where they saw it because they don't think to, they just save it and then later on they'll post it. But, you know, if you're a writer or a blogger, it's just common courtesy that you ask permission or that you tag them or you give them. And I believe that the rule of thumb is if you're posting in the same, if you were tweeting it and somebody was to retweet it, you actually retweet it or you quote the tweet. Or if you're doing it on Instagram, you do the same thing and you repost it on Instagram. But I mean, there are that when fans don't always understand that ownership thing, but stars, I would have expected, because so the first thing I did was go, that's interesting. So I did my research and I made sure, no, that's mine. And you know your own work.
Right.
You know, you do.
Right.
There were only 5 of us in the front row that year as VIPs. It was center stage. There was nobody's head in front. It was the angle. That was mine. So the first thing I kind of reached out to the – because remember, when you go to an event like this, I might have been the photographer.
Tell us what event
it
was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm skipping ahead. So this was taken May of almost – it's coming up on 5 years ago. So this was at the very beginning of Outlander. And Sam and Graham were at Jibland. Jibland is, Justin Bello does a supernatural convention. For the last 15 years, they've been doing supernatural. And that was the first year that they did a multi-fandom event. And Sam and Graham were invited. And what I thought was great was right from the beginning. And I do have to say that this clip that they used of Graham dancing, he surprised all of us. Now, I do have to say that they had already been sampling, let's call it apple juice. It looked a lot like apple juice. So they were feeling good up there. And so when he just started dancing, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And it was a great clip. What was even better is Sam's reaction, because you could just tell right from the beginning that, you know, Sam's sitting there, you know, oh my goodness, and hiding his face and putting his head, you know, hands on his head. And so I thought it was perfect. And evidently so did the production. So I started to reach out to try to say, well, Daniela, who runs this Jibland event, obviously if I'm the photographer, that's fine, but I can get credit as a photographer, but really who owns any footage that came from that? It's Daniela. I mean, that's her event and she owns all that. So I wanted to make sure she knew, just so you know, Daniela, I did not go against your terms and conditions. I did not sell this to anybody. In fact, they never even contacted me asking me for credit. So she says, no, I know. So she started following up too. I did finally this morning get an email from somebody who said the Men in Kilts group would like to talk to you. What's the best email to talk, you know, to send it to you on? Danielle and I have been in touch, and she actually has been in touch with Sam directly and said, you know, hey guys, if you'd have asked, we'd have said, yeah, no problem, use it. But the problem is,
right,
you need to ask. You know, it's just, it's not right. Because really, Daniela should have gotten some credit too, because it was at her event. There was nothing to do with, there was nothing. So you had people that are sitting there and they see Sam having this daydream or this remembrance of Graham, you know, doing this great kilt dance with his sporran flying. And there are going to be people that are going to say, wonder where that happened. When did that happen? And that could have been great advertising for her, you know. So I feel bad, like it was an opportunity missed. So we'll see what the stars people. And I guess I was mostly disappointed because I've gotten used to the fact that individual fans are new to the fandom. So they see something and they get overzealous and they like capture it and reprint it and repost it. And I've even had, you know, I've gotten better over the last 5 years with watermarking it. Now I understand why you watermark, because once it's posted, it kind of takes on a life of its own and people do forget where it goes. But I was disappointed. It was just a shock to see something
Well, Sam, you watermarked this and the watermark was taken off or cut or clipped off. So,
yeah, it was in the, they cropped it a bit anyway. They kind of just, they didn't need to see the stage and the water glasses at the bottom and stuff like that. But yeah, but in the email it said, we'd like to talk to you about your video. They knew, and I had actually sent it to Sam and Graham like back in January. You know, I tagged him in an Instagram story that just said, you know, hey, we're getting ready for Men in Kilts. We all can't wait. And this is, you know, and because it was a great advertisement for them, because it just showed how much fun the two of them are together and the interactions. And it, you know, and again, I would have, if asked, I'd have said, hey, fine with me. Make sure it's okay with Daniela. Go for it, you know. But I would have had a little bit better taste in my mouth if it was
asked. And it's not like you're asking, you want to ask for money. You just want acknowledgement.
No, in fact, Daniela could ask for money as the owner of the content, that I could just ask for photo credit, which wouldn't hurt.
Right.
You know, I don't try for copious amounts of followers. And you know, I post freely, and my friends, you know, and so I've grown a little bit, but I don't sit there and try to get followers for any particular reason. But would have been nice. I feel like, you know, I don't do a whole lot of self promoting, but you know, you do want people to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that will all get resolved. And hopefully it will be, everybody will be happy. And hopefully they'll send you the nice press boxes and
Yeah, I don't want money, but heck, I'll take a, you know.
A Medi-Kilt lunchbox and a thermos.
Yeah.
And another bottle of Sassenach whiskey. So, so if you want to call in and chat with us and tell us what you've been doing, watching, reading, thinking, 929-477-3898, we would love to hear from you.
Now that everybody's thawed out after the cold and snow across the whole U.S., really.
Country.
I think Florida was the only place that really didn't have abnormally cold weather.
Yeah, that's screwed us up. You know, personally, because my husband and I are just yesterday closed on a condo in Florida. Come and join us, girls' weekend.
Congratulations.
But we were supposed to close on Friday, and we sent a package with a prepaid label from the attorney in Florida, and it was supposed to arrive by 12 o'clock on Friday. And at 12 o'clock on Friday, it was sitting in Memphis. And Twitter's Facebook, or FedEx's Twitter page was saying, "Sorry, folks, this terrible weather has caused major delays in Memphis." And people were responding, "It's been in the 70s all week here." I've had an overnight package sitting in Memphis since February 12th. So, you know, something screwy there. I think Louis DeJoy has been advising FedEx.
Well, I had a Christmas card arrive at the last person's address today. Of course, it was in Lebanon, so I mean, I guess, you know, but yeah.
They've got
today.
Their own problems.
Yeah. So I guess her Valentine's card will probably get there by, what, 4th of July?
I sent 2 Valentine's cards to New Zealand 3 weeks before Valentine's Day, and they have not gotten there yet. So I don't know where they are because, of course, it's, you know, first-class mail, and you don't put tracking on just a card, so.
Sure.
Anyway, hopefully my son and daughter-in-law and grandson will get those. But yeah, so next week's Men and Kilts, we might as well just keep talking since nobody's called yet.
Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of fun. This is what I'm looking forward to. On the witches and the supernatural is the title.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. And it was actually kind of funny because last week, I'm assuming somebody from Stars must have been on vacation. There were no press screeners and no press photos available all week. And photos came up on the press site yesterday. Monday. Yeah, yesterday was Monday.
That would have been yesterday. Okay,
yeah.
Just checking.
And today we had 10 photos for the next episode.
Wow.
So somebody's back from vacation and doing their job. So
maybe they were affected by the cold.
Maybe things slow down, you know.
The cold delayed things.
Right. But there's an interesting picture of Sam and Graham with a statue of somebody in one of those plague doctor masks. You know, the ones that kind of look like Mad Magazine.
I didn't know that was a statue. I thought it was a person dressed like that.
I think it's a statue. There are 2 pictures, you know, and they're in what looks like a cemetery. So I think will know next week. But you know, they look like statues to me. But
you know, Kathy McQuistian actually has a plague mask. It was a hit on one of our Zoom parties. I'm just saying that was a great mask to have.
Yeah, you can wear those at real parties and just keep poking into people.
It's classic.
Boing, boing. That would be interesting. Kathy McQuistian has some of the most interesting props I've ever seen.
Yes.
So she's quite a creative person.
You know what? If you don't mind, I'll help plug something for Kathy. I know Kathy's been working with a friend of hers. We're friends with a lady named Liz Bolton, and she had been one of the customers that worked under Terry Dressbach for years. And, so she was sort of, Liz was engaged in some of those online Kaylees that, again, Agave and Gillibrige and some of the others were doing. Well, Liz wanted to sort of branch out and do more of this on her own, because I really feel sorry for some of these people. She's the caregiver for her elderly father, and she's not making money. If there's no, you know, not a lot of jobs open because there's not a lot of new costuming and whatnot that's needed.
Right.
Because so I think that she was going to start a series of costume specific, which actually on some of just the friendly Zooms that we've been on, it's fascinating. So she was going to actually start to talk about different things, you know, methods and how to do things and just all about costuming. So I know that there's a couple of friends that I know are quite interested in that, but keep an eye out. I think she was going to charge a nominal amount because she's got to, again, have to pay for the Zoom licenses and the transfer fees and whatnot,
right.
But the money is going to be going directly to Liz, who's really not been working for about a year. So
That's terrific. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'm
looking forward to it.
Call in and give us more details.
Yeah, those are all the I told you more than I know. But I know she's just about ready to start launching it. She had gone through and tried to figure out which is the best, most inexpensive. Because, you know, people don't think about that. They think, oh, it's online. It should be free. You shouldn't have to. Well, I'm sorry, but there are, you know, licenses for the, whether it be Zoom, because you can't use a free Zoom account if you're going to be doing, you really have to have a licensed account to be able to do those. Or I think that's where, I think that's the application that she's, but still there's monthly fees for that. There's monthly fees for if you're going to put it out there, even if you use PayPal as your or Eventbrite or some of these other ones, they charge fees as well. So it's not all the money. So even if you charge $20, part of Liz would probably be getting half of that. I'm estimating. I have no idea what her actual numbers are. But so, I mean, I think that for a couple hours worth of her teaching us about what she knows and what she knows best. And she's always got little outlander tidbits and side stories and things like that. So, you know, I think that's well worth the price of a cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you think about it, you go out to Starbucks and have lunch and or coffee or whatever it's going to cost you. So I don't know. That's just my little plug. I'm trying to keep all my outlander friends, know, gainfully employed, or at least eating on a regular basis. We've all become accustomed to eating.
Yeah.
Eating is good.
If you have something to plug,
important.
Call us. 929-477-3898. We are plug friendly.
I plugged it for Kathy, but if she wants to call and give more details, she's more than welcome to.
And Kathy does
frequently listen to us. I feel like she said something last week. I feel like she did say something about it last week when she called.
I think she said she was trying to plan it, and she didn't. When she had the details, she was going to. So when I talked to her earlier today about something completely different, she said that she was real close. So I'm very proud of her.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. It's good to hear. So what else is going on? They started filming Outlander.
Yes.
I guess there's been a lot of snow in Scotland.
There was earlier, you know, I think it's cleared up now, but there was definitely some good winter weather. Right about the same time we were all getting that winter weather, they were as well.
Uh-huh.
But they've gone back to being very radio silent. Have you noticed that? There isn't an awful lot of social media chat.
Yeah.
I think they're told when they're allowed to.
Yeah. Well, and who knows how much more complicated it is and time consuming and everything else with all the COVID restrictions.
Sure.
It might affect how they do things completely.
Well, it would have to.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see, I guess. It would be nice if they could start giving us hints about a date or something, you know, whether it'll be fall or whether we'll have to wait till next year. Or,
I think that they might be reluctant to do that because people start then banking on that. And
right.
Because even when they did start filming, I think that they were reluctant to tell people that they were because they didn't know how much, like before you kind of knew, okay, if they started filming in January, it takes about 9 or 10 months and they'll be done by like September, October. Well, if they told people that they started filming in January, then people were going to start assuming that they'll be ready in September or October, and that may not be the case. So I think that it's undercommit and over-deliver. Say it again?
Yeah. Diana's dealing with the same thing with her book.
Right.
Things don't stay the way people want them to go. Mm-hmm. Changes happen. So.
Yeah, well. We're all just waiting, some more patiently than others.
Now, Cesar had he had done some headshots, some new headshots and whatnot, and they are starting to. He and his manager are starting to post some of them. So I guess that the proofs are done, and he's going to be picking some of these. They were really nice pictures. So I know a couple people have posted them. I was too busy today to do any reposts, but.
Where are
he's
those
just such
on
a,
Instagram?
If, if this whole acting thing doesn't work out, he'd be a great model,
But are they on Instagram for people?
Yeah,
here?
I'm sorry. Yes, they're on Instagram. He posted a couple. His they're under his. I think he did it under an Instagram story, and then Arno Lamb is the name of his friend, who's the photographer, and Benoit also posted some on his. But they're just He's just so fashionable, He's just so French.
Yeah.
and he will be having. So do you remember last February? Do you remember? Yeah, because what have you done since? Last February when we were in Los Angeles for the red carpet, Cesar couldn't be at the red carpet because he was in the middle of filming a French film, and it's soon. It's close to being released. He's hoping to be able to, talk about and have a date of when it's coming out. It'll probably be released in Europe and not here, but we might get it eventually or get it at least subtitled or something.
Yeah, streaming somewhere.
Streaming's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know enough French to recognize one word out of 10, so... oh, look, he said, man.
You know enough French to be dangerous.
Yeah.
No, not even that much. I know enough French to trip over my own feet. So, dangerous to myself, that's about it. So, yeah. Anybody else doing anything interesting in the Outlander world? Barry Waldo's been posting random pictures of Gary Steele's Outlander sets.
Yes.
He's not an official Outlander person, but I love Barry. I think he's terrific. So
he's pretty close to official somehow.
We keep waiting for Laura Donnelly's, I think it's HBO, The Nevers, isn't that supposed to be out?
Yeah.
I think the end of, I don't remember now if I actually saw a date, but soon. So that'll be good. We like her.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And we'll have to just keep our eyes out for things that other people are doing. I haven't heard anything about Grant O'Rourke lately, what he's been doing or looking forward to. Or has Stephen Creed, has he mentioned, well, he's in Discovery of Witches.
Yeah, that's over now. It was just his birthday. Remember, he's got that weird February 29th birthday, so it was his unbirthday this year.
crazy birthday to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has twins who are born on the 29th.
That was the date my dad was due, February 29th, 1936, but he came a couple days early, so he didn't have to deal with all that. So happy birthday to my dad. Yeah, that was fun to see him on Sunday.
I was just going to ask you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we may end up having a record here. We're not having any callers today. Come on, guys, 929-477-3898.
Geez, should we take this personally?
Well, we always
so.
Did say we would just sit around and talk to ourselves anyway, so who knows?
Right.
Maybe they're all planning on listening to it in the recording.
Yeah. Well, you all wanted to hear about the plans I've got for the Florida condo, or what, you know, what are we going to talk about? So,
I want to go to Florida.
Yeah.
I know, me too.
So we've got to get through all this COVID stuff so we can all fly down there and have a good time.
Yeah.
I did find out that as a Florida homeowner, I don't have to be a full-time resident, I can get half-price tickets to Disney World.
Oh, you're going to hate that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know. That's going to be so rough.
Wow.
So.
If you'd known that, you might have bought something earlier.
Might have, you just never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've been going through a lot of my Outlander stuff lately, and kind of our friend Coco has been doing this too, but do I need this? Do I need that? And somehow the answer is always, yeah, it's mine.
Right. I can get rid of
so this. Here's a challenge. Move from a 3,500 square foot house into an 850 square foot house, and it really helps you decide what's really important. Let me just tell you.
What is the issue?
Yeah.
Except
I know what was really funny. Did you guys happen to see Tim Downey's tweet? Somehow, I'm not sure how, he discovered the joy of gooey ducks. Have you ever heard of a gooey duck clam?
Yeah, they kind of look like something else. Yeah.
They kind of look like something else. Yes, they do. So he was like, I don't know why I've never known about these until now. And then, of course, you know, he had to show a picture of a couple of them. And yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Tim's
and I
funny.
Did just recently find a television ad where he's in like a Dollar Shave Club advertisement on it's like a little video or something like that where he's you know kind of like in a towel or something with a whole bunch of guys singing about shaving. I don't know. I think I bookmarked it to go back and watch it when I.
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny if somebody could put together a compilation video of any Outlander cast member in a commercial.
Oh yeah, and David Barry's got one in like a shower with just wearing a you know a towel too. So
the
two of them.
Right.
His next podcast will be all about you know just wearing towels. The two of them together.
Men in towels.
Men in towels. I like that.
Men in towels.
Oh, gosh.
I think we could come up with a few more of those. That might be interesting. events, you know, there's still some hope for events in 2021. I did talk to Deb Ford, who owns Through the Stones, and she says she is assuming at this point that we will be able to have large enough gatherings by December.
Good.
I mean,
but
December
that,
is pretty. Yeah.
I know
that.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Beyond that, I was going to say the only one that I know that has that was later on in the year that was July was San Diego Comic Con said. But then again, San Diego Comic Con isn't a large event. San Diego Comic Con is a humongous.
Yes.
Event.
Yes.
So
right.
they said, no, we're not going to be able to have our normal Comic-Con in July. However, they are planning on something in November, and they called it a smaller event,
yes.
But they don't have the details yet. And I'm thinking, okay, smaller to them could literally be 20,000 people. And that's still many times smaller than what a normal San Diego Comic-Con is.
And that's a lot of people.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that yet. SDCC is overwhelming, and it had become, in recent years, had become the place where anything that was vaguely sci-fi or fantasy, TV show-wise, would have a giant booth. The Walking Dead always had a giant booth, and Outlander was theirs in one form or another almost every year. Not every year, but almost every year. And the last one I went to, Snowpiercer, had a big a big booth that's on it for its second season right now. And they were handing out cricket bars. Protein bars, actually.
You mean real crickets? Like actual crickets? Okay.
Yeah. Protein bars made from real crickets. And I have that. It's actually sitting, you know, I picked one up and sitting in my pantry, and every time Kevin goes to reach for it to have a snack, I say, oh, you don't want to do that. So at this point, it's probably stale anyway, but so that'll be interesting. But I don't know if it actually is held. I don't know if I'll go. We have a family wedding the end of October and Through the Stones the first week of December. And Allison and I are going to do a craft show, as long as it's actually held in November. Mm. So we'll kind of have to see if I'm able to go and, you know, if I'm up for it. And then with any luck, we'll be heading to New Zealand at the end of the year. So we'll have to see if I go to that or not. 3F by Space always goes. Mm-hmm. We always have a couple of people there. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't know. So New York Comic Con, we haven't heard anything about that yet.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we've heard one way or another whether they're going to attempt it or whether they're just
See, October, November, it's a little on the fence, so they may. But again, for something that large, a smaller one in October, November probably be okay. But
Well, Wizard World and a couple of these other cons, I know Star Trek cons have been doing this. They've been doing a lot of virtual stuff where they have panels that are free to watch. And some of those have been a lot of fun. And then they'll do for a charge, you can get personalized autographs or a couple minute Zooms with stars and here's something. We were talking about Star Trek. There was supposed to be a new spinoff called Section 31. Now that one is on hold again. Came up in my feed. as long as they do the one with Anson Mount about Captain Pike. That one's in production, so that's good. We don't really know how these are going to come out, but these virtual ones are kind of fun. I do hope they're better managed than when Wizard World a couple of years ago had Sam was supposed to attend and couldn't, and then he was supposed to be signing autographs and they were supposed to be mailed to people, and as far as I know, none of those autographs got to anybody.
Oh, I didn't know that. I
forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. The last I heard, nobody had gotten their autographs. So hopefully some of these, and hopefully Wizard World is more on the ball with all of these that they've been charging people for.
Which is actually a shame to hear, because they're in Chicago, their customer service people, the people that were dealing with all of those fans who were disappointed that last minute Sam and then Katrina moved her dates. They were phenomenal. I mean, they really were trying very hard and were giving refunds on the spot, and they were working double time. But of course, I'm sure they weren't the ones responsible. Yeah, they weren't the ones responsible for responding to the signatures. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could be wrong. I just, maybe haven't heard anything about it recently, but the last I heard, people were still frustrated that it's so I think maybe I'll do some checking and see if anybody can tell me. You know, ladies, if we have nothing left to kind of chat about and no callers, I'm thinking we should call it a night.
All right.
I think that's probably not a bad idea.
Is there anything else that you want to bring up?
I don't think so.
Okay.
How about you, Sam?
Nope. I'll keep you posted if I hear back.
Yes, please.
from anybody from Men in Kilts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm sure that Sam is hopping a flight as we speak, and he's going to show up on my doorstep and apologize with a bouquet of flowers and a bottle of whiskey.
Bottle of whiskey, right? Exactly.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm sorry, I may have just nodded off. What did you say?
Sam's dream radioing. So. Sleep radioing.
We are sort of about a fantasy, you know, supernatural time travel. Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, ladies, it's been fun as always. Join us next week when we talk to ourselves again for a little while. talking about episode 4 of Men in Kilts. And we will see you then. We'll kind of go out with the Dunedin Pipe Band. Where are they? Come on, play. There we go.